Looking for a more affordable way to own in 2026? With shared ownership at Latimer Homes, you can reserve your new home for just £26 before the 26th January. Lower upfront costs, modern, stylish homes, and a clearer path onto the property ladder, making it easier than ever to step into home ownership. Find out more at latimerhomes.com. T's and C's apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. We're entering NFL playoff season, and I hope you had fun cheering your team and cashing in your big fantasy football earnings. I myself did neither. I'm a Jets fan, and if you're not a big football fan, let me just share that a 3-14 record is not a good record. And their not-so-winning ways rubbed off on me, unfortunately. I was dead last in Entrepreneur's Fantasy League. Emily, super producer Emily, if you want to add some cheering sound effects, that'd be great. But my failures aside, sports betting is obviously a huge thing these days. And so this week, I wanted to share some insights from Joel Milton, who is the co-founder of Splash Sports. It's different from other sports books and daily fantasy sites in that their focus is creating contests that you play with your friends. So I'm going to let him explain the particulars in a minute. But one thing that I think is particularly cool is that their platform collects the money and pays it out. So there's no more, if you're the commissioner of your league, sending out 1,000 emails to your coworker who hasn't paid up yet. Pay up, Steve. Come on. And that's a big one because, my God, one of my sons is still complaining about people not paying up for a league that he won 2 years ago. And the big jackpot he's waiting for is like $40. But the way he complains and holds on to this anger, you'd think he was a Winklevoss twin who got scammed out of $40 billion. Gotta let it go, Gus. Anyway, Joel had a lot of great insights in building a business and finding your thing. But first, let's hear him explain what Sports Splash is all about.
You know, we allow anyone to create a contest, whether it's a small commissioner running with their friends or family, or a content creator or a podcaster running a contest as a way to engage with their fans. These can be free to play or real money, where we act as sort of the trusted third party to make sure entry fees are safely collected. We hold on to them, we pay the winners, and we also let hosts the option to get paid for running these contests as well. So the same way YouTube creators get, you know, a share of ad revenue for making videos and therefore create more movies and people watch them more and YouTube makes money. It's that creator economy. We do the same thing with commissioners, and we actually have commissioners earning six figures by running pools. And it's also a fun way for them to engage with their fans and followers and build their own data lists of emails and connect more.
So that's kind of awesome. And stay tuned for the How Success Happens Fantasy Football League coming to you in the 2026-2027 season. Given my fantasy prowess, there is a very strong chance you'll take all my money. So I would encourage you getting in on that when it happens. Okay, so fun stuff aside, running a business is hard. And Joel shared one of the bigger challenges his company faced. And appropriately enough for a sports business, it involved moving goalposts.
I'd say our biggest setback was sort of macro driven, right? After we started the business in 2021, when capital was very abundant and the whole venture ecosystem was really focused on growth, right? And so our original mandate from investors was clear: grow. Don't worry about revenue and profitability, just grow, get more users. So, you know, we built a product, we invested aggressively in acquisition and our community, and we scaled a large, highly engaged user base. And then it was time to raise the next round. And all of a sudden, like, the macro environment had completely changed, right? Now, all of a sudden, every investor was like, how much money are you making? Are you guys profitable yet? What are your margins? And I was like, well, we did what we were supposed to do, but the goalposts moved. And it made for a really challenging time to raise capital, because it's sort of like, you know, when you're running a business, even a nimble startup, things like hiring and roadmap and plans, you know, it's sort of like more like steering a tanker ship than, you know, driving a sports car sometimes, right? You know, when you hire a whole bunch of people, it's really hard to just all of a sudden change directions. We had to tighten the business a little bit, and it was really challenging to sort of refocus on sort of the new fundamentals that were what investors wanted to see. But we did. We got leaner. We became more disciplined. We raised the capital we needed and proved we could grow efficiently rather than just quickly. And, you know, while painful, it definitely made us a stronger and more durable business.
Okay, so that was a specific problem. But what about those common overreaching problems that all entrepreneurs face day in and day out? What I'm getting at is the big question, are we doing too much or too little in order to grow?
One of the hardest things about running and starting a business is there's two different, you know, like the angel and the devil on your shoulder, right? On one side, you see opportunity everywhere, right? Where, you know, you want to be creative, you want to capitalize on market opportunities, see problems that, you know, you can solve and take advantage of opportunity. But if you do it too much, they call it the shiny penny syndrome, right? Where you're constantly chasing new things and you're not staying focused and you end up running in circles and never getting forward. You know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have, you know, horse blinders on and you see a problem and you solve it and you put your head down and you just march towards that solution and you ignore all these other shiny pennies and everything else that gets in your way and you're solely focused on execution. But if you do that too much, you miss the fork in the road that you should have taken or the opportunity that was really there. And so I think finding that balance is really hard, and that's, you know, the biggest piece of advice I can give is make sure you're cognizant of both challenges and try to find that balance towards when it's time to focus, but when you need to be opportunistic and realize that, you know, maybe it is time for a little pivot, or maybe we do need to reevaluate, you know, what we're focused on.
So another big question that all entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs face is this going to work? Is this a good idea? I asked Joel to talk to us about how we went about finding out if the concept behind Splash Sports was a good idea, if it was sustainable, and what he advises other entrepreneurs to do when they have something that they're eager to start.
It's funny, I actually guest lecture a class at CU every year here on the Lean Startup Method. And I don't know if I've actually ever fully read the book cover to cover, but I've definitely learned a lot of those lessons the hard way. And that's, you know, get product out quickly, right? You know, you can spend as much time as you want trying to make perfect in a lab, but until it gets out in the real world, gets tested by users or customers, you're in for a whole world of surprises. So I would say, you know when to move fast to break things and get stuff live. And then, you know, once you have millions of users and are collecting real dollars, don't break things. So, you know, it's finding that balance, but certainly in the early days, don't worry too much about what you're working on. Get it out there and get feedback as quickly as possible.
Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, you've got things coming at you all day long, just mountains of work to conquer. And just when you think you're done with one thing, something else pops up. So I asked Joel about productivity tips. Is there something he does that helps him manage this company, keep it running smoothly without driving himself totally insane?
I try to do important things immediately. You know, if an email needs a response, I answer right when it comes in, right? I don't worry about looking crazy that I responded 30 seconds later. If there's a decision to make or even a trip to book, I try to do it right away. This might seem counterproductive to some people to be that responsive. I know a lot of people like to block time, but I find it makes me far more productive. Things don't pile up. Things don't get forgotten or fall through the cracks. I can, you know, stay focused and moving forward on the things I need to rather than managing a backlog.
So finally, I wanted to ask him about the overall idea. Always interesting to know if an idea sort of was sparked like a lightning bolt. Did it evolve over time? And Joel talked about how he and his co-founders sort of got introduced to this world when they were kids, you know, seeing their dads in betting pools and having fun with all that. So I asked him, is that something you knew way back then, that this is what I was going to do with my life? And, well, spoiler alert, no. But I think it's an interesting lesson in how you never know what your experience today, maybe 10 years from now, 20 years from now, it's going to become incredibly meaningful in ways you could have never predicted.
No, definitely not. Probably because I was like 8 or 9 years old, right? I think, you know, very rarely do you realize, especially earlier on in your life, that the things you're doing might shape what you end up doing in the future. But it goes back to, you know, what it means to be an entrepreneur, where you see challenges and opportunities and gravitate towards the things that you like and the things that you want to see more in the world and that you want to see exist. So Yeah, definitely planted some seeds subliminally, but certainly wasn't something I thought about for probably 20-something years in between when it started and when we ended up starting Splash.
So that's it. Dig deep into your brain. See if there was something that happened to you when you were four that could be the spark for your next big business. I want to thank Joel for all the great advice, and thank you for listening. And I just wanted to, in the end here, I just wanted to add a little bit more about what Joel said about, you know, getting your idea out there, iterating as you go. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. You know, things don't have to be perfect. In fact, follow the lead of this show's producer, Emily, who on a recent episode post misspelled Pittsburgh in the title. She didn't let spell check stop her. She just went for it. She just put it out there. So if I was being fair, I would note that I didn't notice either until an astute reader, Bijan Hay, wrote in and said, "Please spell Pittsburgh correctly. Thank you." Now, as I said, admitting culpability in this error would be the right and fair thing to do. However, blaming other people is much more fulfilling to my soul, so I'm going to put this squarely on Emily's shoulders. We'll see if she keeps this in the episode. Anyway, you can write in too to howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. Let us know what you like and what you love and what you, you know, really, really, really love. Because aside from the occasional typo, I can't imagine there's any criticism you could possibly have. Okay, we'll see you next time.